Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. We'll be looking at verse 7, having to do with Noah. The Bible doesn't just tell us what to do, it gives us illustrations, stories that we can read and enjoy. And at the same time, we can identify with the characters in the story. Hebrews 11 is simply a collection of stories, men and women from the Old Testament who are brought forward as illustrations of what it means to live by faith, people who persevered, people who endured by faith. And one by one, they come and they stand before us and their story is told. And we can see how they lived. We learn from them how we are to live. The message of the whole book of Hebrews is simply that there's nobody better than Jesus Christ. It's the great superiority of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and in various aspects of his character, but especially as a high priest. And when we come to the end of the book, there's this great emphasis on faith. We're being told that there's no better place to put our faith than in Jesus Christ. Because of who Jesus is, we can draw near to God in full assurance of faith. We can hold fast the confession of our hope. We can help one another by loving them and doing good. We're not to let things get us down. We're not to let anybody turn us around. We're to persevere. We are to endure no matter how tough life gets. But we're not to do that just by gritting our teeth and saying, I've got to do this. I'm just going to try harder. We do this by faith in Christ. Chapter 10 and verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what God has promised. And then quoting from Habakkuk, verse 38, my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But, verse 39, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and are saved. Well, what is faith? Not a definition, but a description. Chapter 11, verse 1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then one man whose story illustrates that kind of faith is Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So let's pray and ask that God would direct us in our study this evening. Father, we do thank you for this chapter. It is a long chapter, and there are many examples. We thank you that we have an opportunity to pause in this New Testament book and to reflect upon Old Testament history and your people who were commended for their faith and obedience many years ago. We thank you that we are able to pause this evening in our observance of your day, of our celebration of the resurrection of Christ, and that we can think about who Christ is and the life of faith that we are called to live, faith in him. We pray that you would grant us a good measure of your spirit, that we might study your word as we find it unfolded, as we think about it, that you would impress it upon our minds, upon our hearts, that you would grant to us that direction for everyday life, that we may follow the example of Noah, that we would persevere, that we would endure, and we would do this by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Now, this is a pretty complete picture of what it means to live by faith. All of the essential elements seem to be included in Noah's example. For instance, Paul says in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and so here we see that Noah was warned. He heard something from God. He had a word from God that he heard, and that word produced faith within him. And then James tells us in his letter that faith without works is dead. And so again, in this example of Noah, we are told that Noah did what God said to do. He built an ark. And then, as Hebrews 11:6 assures us, faith enables us to experience the power and the goodness of God. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so here we see that Noah was rewarded. He received some good gift of grace from God. He was saved, he and his family. The power of God delivered them all from destruction and opened up a brand new world for them to start over again. And so tonight, let's look at Noah's story and see what we can learn about living by faith. First of all, you've got to listen to what God says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of Christ, you've got to listen to what God says, and that's what Noah did. I hope the story from the book of Genesis, we're not going to take the time to go back and read that account, but hopefully that portion of God's word is in your mind. We find in Genesis that Noah was warned by God, and Noah listened. God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people. For the earth is filled with violence. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life, every creature, everything on earth will perish. It was a warning. Noah listened to the warning. He heard it. He took it seriously. And God told Noah how he could escape. There was instruction that came from God. Make for yourself an ark. And then there was a promise. God says, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives. God said it, and Noah listened. Isn't that why people are in trouble today? You're not listening. People are not listening to what God is saying. They're not listening to what God says in the Bible, which is where God speaks to us today. Every time you open your Bible, expect God to speak. Specifically, ask him to speak. Pray. Now, don't just read for information. You've got to get through these chapters, stay on schedule for get through the Bible in a year or something. But every time you open your Bible, expect God to speak and pray and ask him to speak directly to you. Read with your heart wide open and longing to hear the voice of God. God speaks in the sermons that you hear. When somebody who is called by God reads and explains God's word for you, you are to listen for that voice of God that comes to you. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially what? The preaching of the Word. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word of God, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and something else that goes on with that catechism question. Reading, but preaching. See, I don't have it all memorized. Terry Clark would have it. He's got it all. Reading is a means of grace. God speaks to us in the reading, but the confession says, especially in the preaching, where the word is taken, God's word, and it's unfolded, it's opened, explained to you. The Spirit of God in the service applies that word to you. And when you come to hear sermons, regardless of who it is that's preaching, listen for the voice of God. Next, you've got to respond to what God says. And again, that's what Noah did. He didn't just sit there and listen. He responded. He reacted to what God was saying. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. There was a response in Noah's heart. There was something that happened inside. He believed. By faith, he responded to God's word. Noah didn't see any rain clouds. The floodwaters weren't rising. No alarms were going off, like a tornado warning or a flood warning in those areas that are prone to flooding. There was no warning saying that something was going to happen. All he had was God's word. God said that this flood was coming on the face of the earth, but that was enough for Noah. His faith was the conviction of things not seen. No one had ever seen anything like this before. The entire area just covered with water, everything flooded. Flood waters covering the face of the earth, wiping out every living thing. His faith was the conviction of something he had never seen. He was convinced this is going to happen. And his faith was the assurance of things hoped for. He wasn't hoping for that water and for people to be killed in that way, but his hope was set on the future that he and his family could be saved, that they would be saved. If he believed God and took God at his word, that he would have what he hoped for, life. They would be saved by God in the ark. His faith was the conviction, if I don't listen to God, I'm going to lose everything. That was his conviction. And his faith was this assurance, if I do listen to God, there's hope. God has created a safe place for me, and I will land safely on the other side of this floodwaters. There was something else in Noah's heart. There was faith, but what else was there? Fear. Again, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. The fear of God, reverence for God. That deep sense that every Christian feels of not wanting to do the wrong thing and offending your Father in heaven. That reverence, that holy fear, that I don't want to do something that's going to bring shame upon myself, but it's going to disappoint and my Father in heaven. It's that idea of wanting to do what is right, wanting to be right, wanting to feel God's smile, to feel God's pleasure upon us. And so we fear offending him. Noah believed, he had faith, but at the same time there was this holy fear that I want to do what God says because this is the right thing to do. This is what my Father wants to do, and I do not want to offend him. And we need both of these in our hearts. The fear of God that reminds us that God is so much bigger than us, and then faith in God that reminds us that he loves us and he cares for us. That's the inner response of Noah's heart, but then there's an outward response, that of obedience. His heart, full of faith, moved his hand to reach over and pick up a hammer and a saw and begin to build an ark. He did something. There's this outward expression of his faith. He began to work on the ark. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Pop quiz. If Noah had listened to what God had said but didn't do anything else, would he live or die? If he listened to what God said but didn't do anything else, is he going to live or die? Die. If Noah had believed what God had said, if he thought it's true, this really is going to happen, but he did nothing else, is he going to live or die? You know, he'd be sitting there in the rising waters and he'd be thinking, this is just what I thought was going to happen. You know, here come the waters and people are, you know, dying and the flood waters are here and the rain's not stopping and the springs from out of the earth are just springing up. I believed it. I heard what God said. But he too would die. You know, if you read your Bible, if you listen to sermons, if you believe everything that you read and hear from God's word but don't do anything else, you're going to live or die. We're saved by God's grace through faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Real faith will always result in building arcs. Real faith will move you to grab the hammer and the saw, whatever it takes, the tools, and build the ark, doing what God says. Not that any of us do that perfectly. I mean, we make mistakes, we make bad choices, we sin, we do what's wrong. But real faith recognizes when we do something wrong and it confesses, it agrees with God, yes, I did something wrong, forgive me. You know, there's godly sorrow, there's that asking for forgiveness, the believing of God's willingness to forgive us, to wash us, make us clean. Real faith always carries us back to walking in fellowship with Christ. It was a pretty difficult thing for Noah to do. To trust and to obey. Not just to hear what God was saying and process that, and then to believe this really is going to happen, but the actual building of the ark. I think the size of the ark. We won't go through all those dimensions and things, but just this huge thing. So few people to work on it. The years of hard labor to get it ready, getting all of those animals on board. How do you do that? You know, bad enough trying to get all the children in the car on a Sunday, right? But you've got trying to get all of these animals, get them on the ark, you build this thing, you get it ready, and all the while you're living in a dangerous neighborhood. I mean, the whole point of the flood coming upon earth is that the earth is filled with violence. There's these wicked people, and violence has filled the land. And so he's having to build the ark in that kind of an atmosphere. People laughing at him. No sign of water anywhere. What are you going to do with that big boat when you get it finished? You know, there's no water near here. But the violence that's just going on in his neighborhood, the criminal element. And I think one of the reasons why this is such a good example to find in Hebrews 11 is that this is what the Hebrews themselves were experiencing. You know, in that first century, and they're following Christ, and people, they're living in a dangerous time. The Romans are beginning to crack down on Christians, and their Jewish neighbors are offended that they have turned to Christ, and so they're giving them a hard time. You face the same kind of stuff as a Christian out in the world, in our culture. We find ourselves living in dangerous situations, our world, our culture. Genesis 6, 5, the wickedness of man was great on the earth, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And you think that, you know, he's got to be watching TV when he writes that. You know, the intent on evil all the time, just doing something terrible, something contrary to God's law. Or Genesis 6:11, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And that's how Habakkuk starts out, isn't it? Crying out, violence. God hates violence. Sometimes people will laugh at you. You're going to miss out on so much. I mean, being a Christian. Why don't you just lighten up? Don't take things so seriously. There's no God. Jesus isn't coming back. Why not just eat, drink, carry on like there's no tomorrow? That's the attitude of the world. And that's when your faith comes in, the faith that Noah had. I'm still going to do what God said. I'm listening to what God says. I believe it. I'm going to build this ark. I'm going to keep working on it. Your faith says the same thing. You know, God, this is too much. These people are giving me a hard time, and yet I'm going with you. I'm not going to go with the flow of this culture. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do what you say. I believe. Help my unbelief. Only then will you and I realize the better things that God has for us. You listen to what God says. You believe what God says. You trust and you obey. You put into practice the things that God says, his instructions. And as you do, you'll find God's power and God's peace in your life. And this is what Noah discovered. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. To begin with, he was saved. I mean, because he believed, because he listened and believed and he did what God said, he was saved. He and his family, his wife and his children. They all got in the ark together and were saved. The promise was to Noah and to his children. There was hope and a future for the generation to come. What you and I do with Christ, what we do in terms of our faith, has very real consequences for us and for our children. Noah was able to say no to the world, and the world just lost its appeal when he did that. He just said, no, that's not what I'm looking for in life. By faith, he condemned the world. He said, no, I'm not going to live like everybody else. I'm not going to live like that. That's not my system of values. That's not my world values. So I'm going to just walk away from all of that and say, no, he condemned the world. By faith, he made a judgment call. He looked on everything that the world had to offer and said, no thanks. Very much like Moses, as we'll find later, refusing the pleasures of Egypt, the passing pleasures of sin and all that Egypt would offer, just saying, no, I'm not going with that. I'm going with Christ. And then Noah heard God say yes to him. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah said, God, I believe in you. I believe that you're there, that you're a good God, that you reward those who earnestly seek you. I want your will to be done in my life. I want to do what you say. I'm going to build this ark. We're going to go sailing. God looked at Noah and said, yes, that's exactly what I was looking for. Here is a man who is doing exactly what I've called him to do. He listened to me, he believed, and he built an ark. This is a man of faith, a man who does exactly what I called him to do in life, a man who steps out in faith. And God says, yes. And Noah becomes an heir of the righteousness that's in keeping with faith. Another pop quiz. What was it that really saved Noah? What was it that really made Noah right with God? Here's the choices. A, was it Noah's obedience? The fact that he built the ark. You don't have to commit at this point. Or was it B, Noah's faith? The fact that he believed what God said. You're thinking it's C. Both. Trust and obey. I think the answer is D. God saved Noah. He did it through the means of faith and obedience, but we should never forget that it is God who saved Noah. We talk about being saved by grace and through faith. We need to always remember that it's not our faith, our working out our faith, that saves us. Jesus Christ saves. It's a person. It's a relationship with the risen Savior that actually saves us. These, you know, faith and obedience, listening to God's word, the various means of grace, these are all part of the picture, but never forget that it's Jesus Christ who saves his people. God saved Noah just as he saves you and me, by grace through faith, resulting in obedience. Doesn't depend on the strength of your faith, somewhat like we talked this morning. It's not necessarily if you can work up a bigger faith, you'll be able to cast the demons out of the little boy. It's the object of your faith. If you had faith that was as small as a mustard seed, you could make this mountain that they had just been on go flying into the sea. Nothing will be impossible to you. It doesn't depend on the strength of your faith. It's the object of your faith, Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on the flawlessness of your obedience. That's where a lot of us get tripped up. I didn't do it right today. I failed. I sinned. I knew better. I should not have done that. I should not have talked that way to that person. And so I'm feeling bad now, and now I'm wondering, well, maybe I'm not even a Christian, or why. You know, people just torment themselves because their obedience, it's not flawless. Doesn't depend on the flawlessness of obedience. It depends upon the flawlessness of the obedience of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who perfectly obeyed his Father in heaven. This is a question that will be on the final exam. You do have to know this. You've got to listen to what God is saying. Faith comes through hearing. If you don't listen, you'll never have faith. You've got to respond to what God says. Faith without obedience is dead. If you don't do what God says, you're not going to have an ark. You're not going to have some means of salvation. Your profession of faith won't mean anything. But don't ever forget that it's God who saves, and he saves us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is God who will help your unbelief. It is God who will carry you through the floodwaters and bring you to the other side, and you will be on dry land in a new world. Let's pray.